MyBookCard.com, you will save immediately with no messy forms or paperwork. Membership fees start at only $4.50 per month and include a 30-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Visit us at www.rxdrugcard.com or call us at 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461. Do it today.
This is the GCN Radio Network.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Christian civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. The views of our guests, and, well, today our guest is Al Garza. Al, are you there?
I'm right here, Doctor. How are you?
All right, fine. Well, Al is with the Minuteman Group. And so, Al, why don't you just tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself and what you're trying to do?
Certainly. My name is Al Garza. I'm the National Executive Director with the Minuteman Civil Defense Corps, and we offer three components to what we're doing. First of all, rule of law, public safety, and national security, and we have brought national awareness of the unsecured borders that we currently have.
All right, fine. Well, I certainly appreciate everything that you're doing that. What's this story recently about somebody attacking some of the National Guard down there?
Well, that's correct. As a matter of fact, this happened, I believe it was last week. What this really was nothing
short of a trans-confrontation, but a deliberate perimeter probe by an infantry-trained uniformed Mexican force. And I believe it's almost 2 weeks ago. And what they were really doing is it was a fire team of perhaps four, as many as eight, which would be indicative of a squad. Very well organized, very well trained, very well orchestrated, hand signals, very well prepared, equipped, night vision, AK-47, so they were there probing for one reason or another.
All right, fine, and certainly what happened when they came into confrontation with the National Guard, were they even armed?
Oh, our National Guard was definitely armed, but they're given orders, first of all, to observe, spot, and report, which is basically what the Minutemen do. That's all we do. We do not arrest or detain. We simply observe, spot, and report illegal activity. In this case, the National Guard is supposed to be doing the same thing. At no point in time have they ever been ordered to return fire or to stand their ground. Virtually speaking, they've been told to retreat. Such was the case.
All right, fine. Well, I'm certainly glad that they're going to did that. And so basically, what sort of effect is the Minuteman having? What effect is the National Guard having? How many National Guardsmen are there really down there on the border? I mean, we were told there were going to be 6,000. Do you think there are that many there?
Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's a far cry from it. I don't believe they even cover 1,000 National Guard in terms of the complete border. I know for a fact that Arizona itself has somewhere between 400 and 600. That's not near enough. We need our border secured, which simply put, we need no less than 10 to 15, perhaps even as many as 30,000 National Guard people out there. The current circumstances are quite sad. And the reason I say that is chiefly because it's been left upon the civilians like the Minutemen to go out there and bring awareness to this big problem. The borders are very dangerous. The elements, for example, in the deserts, people dying out there trying to get to this country. There's got to be a better way to get to this country, and I think there is. They just don't want to use it.
Well, I certainly certainly concur. Now, basically, we'll be back in just a moment with Al Garza, who's working with the Minutemen, and try to get his take on what's being done, what needs to be done, and why we have this massive invasion of illegal immigrants coming into this country looking for a better life, but they will destroy this country if we don't stem the tide. So we'll be back in just a moment here at the Genesis Communication Network.
Statistics are heart-wrenching. According to the CWC, of the 43 million people who have served in the major wars, from the Revolutionary War to the Gulf War, 3 million never made it home alive. Most likely, each one of us can say we either knew someone who served or know a brave soul who is currently serving our country. Now there is a unique way to pay tribute to the courageous men and women who spend their lives protecting our freedom and to those who have lost their lives doing so. Davis Products is offering high-quality, solid-cast aluminum memorial markers for your American flag. Each memorial marker is specifically designed to represent one of 15 wars. All markers include a 3/8 inch pointed and threaded aluminum rod, painted and highlighted for an appearance that is unforgettable. What better way to pay homage to our enlisted loved ones? Davis Products memorial markers are only $9 a piece and can be ordered by calling 814-827-4946. That's 814-827-4946. Or visit davis-products.com. That's davis-products.com.
Terrorism. Terrorism. Chemical attacks. Dirty bombs. Fallout. Biological attack. Anthrax. And to top it all off, duct tape and plastic. Alarming words for our time. But how do you protect your family during such a crisis? The video Sheltering in Place, Surviving Acts of Terrorism from Biological, Chemical, and Radioactive Fallout was developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government. Anyone can follow the simple instructions. It's presented by a housewife as they walk you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. If you're not the type who waits till it's too late, then you need the video Sheltering in Place. Get the critical information you need now for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at murkywater.com.
What is the secret of the sea? It's the exciting food from the sea, and it can be yours with Nature's Original Superfood from Wachter's. This excellent, exclusive blend of Wachter's sea vegetation is bursting with over 65 trace minerals and vitamins. Our sea vegetation contains 40 times more nutrients than any land-grown vegetation. You would need almost 20 pounds of alfalfa, 10 pounds of spirulina, and 40 pounds of wheat to get the same nutritional value found in only 1 pound of Wachter's exclusive blend of sea plants. Over 75 years of experience has made Wachter's the leader in sea vegetation nutrition. Experience the benefits for yourself today. Call Wachter's today to order your bottle of sea vegetation. Join us on a business associate call to learn more at 800-682-7100. That's 800-682-7100. Or visit our website at wachters.com. That's WACHTERS.com.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network. Our guest is Al Garza. He's with the Minuteman. And so, basically, tell me what your unit is doing. I mean, do you have many people down on the border? Do you have just a few? Whereabouts are they? Are you at liberty to tell me? And,
oh, yes,
you know,
I am, certainly.
Are you simply identifying the people as they're coming across and reporting to the Border Patrol? Or, you know, are you trying to actually dramatize the real problem we have? What's your goal and objective?
Well, it's real simple. First off, we started off approximately 4 years ago. And it was a handful of individuals that were interested in securing the border. And we started off with five, and then about a week or so later, became 10. Now, as we speak, we are over 9,000 nationwide. And what we do is we go to the border. I, for instance, I live in Arizona, not far from the border. I'm 40 miles from NACO, which is to myself, and then just... west of me, there's Nogales. So the bottom line is that these borders are completely wide open, and you're talking about 500,000, if not more, it could even well be 700,000 illegal immigrants that come through our nation completely unannounced. That's only one facet of it. The other facet is there's a lot of drug activity, drug cartels. the anarchists that are adamantly just nonchalantly walking through our deserts and selling their cargo. We, as Minutemen, have saved well over 400 lives, passed out well over 20,000 gallons of water, given clothing and food. So we're not out there with a racial agenda. We are there to bring awareness to the unsecured borders that exist currently and the illegal immigration and the exploitation of these people, if you will, in so many words, and that our politicians are completely ignoring the problem.
All right. Now, why is the administration ignoring the problem? They know what's going on down there. They refuse to enforce our laws. They have a catch-and-release program, and they've had it in the past, and I don't know if it's still in force, but they're certainly not going after the people who are employing these as a large scale. So, first of all, you know, have they tightened up border control at all in the last few months?
Well, to some degree, but I would consider that to be a political carrot. They have given us some National Guard, as we spoke of earlier. They've given us somewhat of another carrot in terms of increasing a little bit of the border patrol, but that's a far cry from what we really need. As a matter of fact, millions of dollars are being pocketed by big businesses and open border advocates that support politicians who say illegal aliens are needed to do jobs Americans will not do. In saying that, the bottom line is, their borders are not secure. They also know how many are coming in. They also know how many are being incarcerated, but they also know that they've got deep pockets.
All right. So basically, they're really, we have this problem. What about the catch and release program? Is that still continuing where they...
Well, we stopped that. We made sure of that, because what they were really doing is this. They were saying that if you were not from Mexico, if you were, in other words, from another country, that... since they have no pact or any kind of agreement with these other countries, that the only obvious thing to do would be to, if they caught them, would be to release them and give them what you consider an OR. And it's more or less like a citation. You report to court in 30 days and then go from there. Well, how many of them are going to report to court? None of them did, but they used that same slip indicative of one thing. That to them was a permiso, in other words, a permission to stay in the country. So they would use that to go inside our country and mingle. Well, we put a stop to that. But now we still have the ongoing problem of sanctuary cities. We've got the problem of immunity. We've got the problem of these people breaking laws and completely and totally immune from our laws, that beginning with immigration laws, not to mention that they can loiter, they can do whatever they want out and buy Home Depot is an example, and nothing can be done about it. Federally speaking, they should be put in jail, or they should be stopped. They should be taken back, but they're not, chiefly because of that sanctuary city ordinance, which is really not in itself an ordinance. They're really breaking federal law.
Well, now tell us what happened to the catch and release program. Certainly, it was before. You could come from a terrorist country. You could be a Muslim, violating our laws, coming into the country. You mentioned that we've stopped the catch and release program. What are they doing with the people coming in here from Muslim countries?
Well, as far as I know, if in fact they catch someone from a Muslim country, they are questioned, I would think. Now, I've never been there when this happens. We have no virtual right to be anywhere near. The only thing we can do is watch them, put them in the truck, and then supposedly take them somewhere, wherever that somewhere is. It could very well be the border. It could be to the INS department. It could very well be to a jail. But they are questioned, it's my understanding. I don't know that to be a fact. That's what I know.
But are they sent back to their country of origin? Are they put in detention? I mean, they may be questioned, but what do they do with them after they catch them?
Well, I'm assuming at that point in time, after they're questioned and they're satisfied that they're not here to do any harm, I'm sure somewhere along the line they do one of two things, and I'm hoping it's the other. One would be to obviously let them mingle into our country, or the other would be obviously to deport them back where they came from. I hope it's the latter.
But we really don't know then.
Don't know for sure.
All right, fine.
At least I know.
Who would know about that? Because that is so important. I mean, certainly if we're really involved in a war on terrorism, they would have not for the last 5 years, and really up until just very recently when we made an issue out of this, they've let these people come into the country, and they've already violated our laws once. So, I mean, who would know about that? Is there any way to find out what's going on?
Yes, I can probably do that within a couple of minutes.
All right, I appreciate
it. I could probably find out for you.
All right, well, I appreciate
you. Which has been a real good question, because I hadn't even considered even looking into it, and I thought I was right, but I guess not.
All right, well, then the next thing, of course, is what about this idea that, you know, we're told that, you know, the police can't even, you know, if somebody's here as an illegal alien, and he's stopped by the police for a traffic citation, then don't they get special consideration if they, let's say they don't have a license? What do you do if you're caught driving on our highways without a legal driving license, and you're here illegally? What do they do with you?
Well, they don't really do much, to be honest with you. In fact, that most in most cases, they are forced to, if they get any inclination that these are illegal immigrants in a car, for example, or if a guy gets pulled over and they figure out or they're inclined to believe that this guy could very well be an illegal alien. If he has no driver's license, generally speaking, and can't speak English, more than likely he is. They've got two options. One is to obviously call the immigration, the INS, and the other is to just let them go.
Well, what should they do?
Cases,
I mean,
they're just going to let them go.
But do they ordinarily let them go?
Yes, sir, because, see, they're out of jurisdiction. As soon as the, let's give you a scenario. Let's say a sheriff's deputy pulls over a car that's got a back window that's missing, as an example, or a light that's out. He pulls him over, and he questions this guy, and the guy can't speak English, and he asks for a driver's license. He says, I don't have one. And he winds up finding out that this guy is, in fact, from Mexico. At that point in time, he calls the Border Patrol. Now, chances are the Border Patrol is not going to show up for 30 minutes, maybe even longer. If that's the case, guy just got away with carte blanche. He's got to let him go.
Well, but the thing is that if you or I were pulled over for driving without a license, we'd go to prison.
Well, of course, but see, that's the point. That's another reason the Minutemen exist. There are laws for the American citizens and no laws for illegal aliens.
But if you were driving in Mexico without a license as an American, you know, you'd go to prison.
Oh, yeah, and from what I heard, I've never been to one, but from what I've heard, their prisons are nowhere near what ours would look like. I guess I would make ours look like Disneyland.
Right. So basically, it would almost appear as if somebody has given orders to give special consideration to people who are violating our laws, almost as if people in key positions in government already don't want to stop this. They want the problem. They don't want to stop the problem.
Well, that's correct. In fact, it's a very, very good observation, because in my eyes, what it resembles would be a third world operation. And you're talking about corruption. You're talking about open borders. You're talking about roadways that go from Nuevo Laredo all the way through Kansas. Mexico is a big part of it. Obviously, the United States would be the center. And then Canada. You're talking about the pesos being used now somewhere in Texas. I mean, to me, it's all indicative of one thing, and that would be a third world corruption.
And what you're really talking about, of course, is this idea of joining together the United States and Mexico. Would that be a fair estimate of what's going on?
Absolutely. That's a good assessment. Absolutely.
Why in heavens would anybody want to destroy the sovereignty of our nation and join us together with a corrupt country like Mexico and bring, you know, those people under our Social Security protection? This is going to bankrupt our Social Security and eventually going to lead to lowering the living standards of the average American. Why is the Bush administration and the Clinton administration before them and the first Bush administration and the Reagan administration, why would they support such a thing?
Well, you know, you hit it right on the nail on the head just a little bit ago. What it's really, this attempt is really all about is to keep only two types of people, two classes. It would be the same thing that you currently have in Mexico, and that's the reason they're being exported here, and that's the reason they're being exported here. Then you have here in the United States, you've got three classes of people. You've got the rich, you've got the poor, and somewhere in the middle, that's where you and I are, the middle class. They want to completely abolish the middle class and have nothing but rich than the poor. And so far, they've done very well. But I think with the noises that America is now making, with the Minutemen being involved, and I'm going to have to give the volunteers of the Minutemen all the credit, because they're the ones that really brought this forth. Now we're talking about a different cuisine.
All right, fine. Well, I think that what, and I certainly congratulate what you and the other people have done trying to get this information out. Now, do you work with Chris Simcox? Do you work with Jim Gilchrist? Or are there two factions within the Minutemen or one faction?
There are two splinter groups. It started off with the two, And then with the same agenda, the goals have not changed. In fact, I know Jim Gilchrist very well. He's with the Minuteman Project. And I'm a very good friend, and I'm second to Chris Simcox. He is the founder of the Homeland Civil Defense, which now is the Minuteman Civil Defense Corps. The same goals, only a different approach.
Now, we're going to be back. We're going to be back in just a minute with Al Garza, and he's going to tell us how the two groups are working towards the same goal, but from a different point of view. Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case there's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson, here for the 2007 Red Book. The commodity markets like gold, silver, copper, aluminum, and oil have exploded over the last year. This is a glaring testimonial of how quickly the U.S. dollar can be devalued. Many have turned to precious metals to provide a safe haven while increasing the potential profits. Though accumulating precious metals has been a proven method for the storage of wealth, it is important that you understand the market you are getting into. Midas Resources is offering the Red Book and Silver Dollar for only $27.95. The Red Book is the number one best-selling guide to gold and silver coins. Call for your copy today. It's 800-686-2237. If you've already accumulated or plan to get into the precious metals market, you simply must have the Red Book in your library. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Do you know where the 78 potentially active volcanoes in U.S. are located? And do you know the locations of the top 300 prime terrorist targets? You can find these answers and more in the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA. With the more than 50 interactive parameters, you can pinpoint natural and man-made disaster areas, brewing environmental catastrophes, the safest cities, the best places for solar and wind energy, and much, much more. Complete with 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of 3,000 plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis to help you zero in on the best places to live, the ideal location for cabins and vacation homes, as well as safe and unsafe areas. Get Prudent Places USA for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 to order on the web or at BerkeyWater.com.
Attention, attention everyone, a brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse, or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. WristEase provides the proper comfort and support for all ages, and WristEase provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order WristEase now at WristEase.com. That's WristEase, W-R-I-S-T-E-A-S-E, WristEase.com. Once again, WristEase.com.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest is Al Garza. We've been talking about the Minuteman Project and people who are very, very concerned, as everybody in the listening audience certainly should be, about the immigration invasion of the United States. Well, you were just mentioning that we seem to have two divergent positions in the Minuteman, both concerned about what's going on, but how do the two groups differ?
It's real simple. First off, you've got Jim Gilchrist, who again was a and still is, as far as I know, is an ally to the Minuteman Civil Defense Corps. We are two groups out of one. It started off again with the Minuteman Project, both with Jim Gilchrist and Chris Simcox. So in the split, what we've done is we've divided our volunteers into three sectors. That being, we've got volunteers that do nothing but border watch. Then we've got other volunteers that do the border fence. And then we've got other volunteers that donate their time to the PAC, which is a political action committee, where Jim Gilchrist is solely designed and solely dedicated to shoot towards the Senate, the Congress, and things of this sort. So when all that's said and done, our goals are ultimately the same thing. No amnesty, no guest worker program, and what was the other? No Social Security, things of this sort. That's really what bottom line is.
All right, fine. Now, how is the fence coming? I mean, have they actually built any of the fence? Is it effective at all? How much do they have?
Oh, yes, sir. We have. As a matter of fact, we're working on currently on undertaking two different branches, and they're virtually speaking, they're side by side. One is right now we've got well over a mile and a half, I believe it is, of coverage already. The other one is a simpler fence. We've got about 7 to 9 miles. And it makes a lot of sense in making these fences, because what you do is you make the traffic deter to other sites, where it makes it a lot easier for the Border Patrol, in our case here, to detain and arrest the illegal aliens. If you've got no fence, it's obvious they're going to go through anywhere.
Sure. Well, now, how big is the fence? I mean, these 6 feet tall, 10 feet tall, they double fences, barbed wire. How are they actually building them, and are you having any difficulty getting permits to build them?
Well, as a matter of fact, we underwent some kind of problems there at first with the city council, but after we battled it for a while, they had no other choice but to fold up to us. And to give you a description of the fence, the one fence is approximately 8 feet in height, and on the very top, it's got I guess you could say it would be concertina wire. It's going to have monitors, sonars, cameras, things of this nature, where any movement will be picked up by this latest technology, and automatically our computers will pick it up, and we'll know what's going on, whether it's an animal, wildlife, or if it's a human being, and we'll be able to direct the Border Patrol through those positions. So it's really an up-to-date and very, very effective way of deterring traffic.
All right. Well, now, what is your plan? I know if you got a mile in one area and, 6 or 7 miles in another?
That's correct. And we're ongoing. Our plan is to virtually cover the entire nation with fencing, walls, military, Border Patrol. Again, we're looking for border security, and whatever it costs, whatever it takes, we're determined to do it, and we will not leave as Minutemen until we are relieved by our own federal government that, again, refuses to address the issue.
The federal government has authorized a 700-mile fence, but it should be obvious that neither the president nor the legislators, or most of them, really want to build a fence. Most of this was just to make the people out there across America get that warm, fuzzy feeling that our government is here to protect us. And, you know, we send our boys over to sea to fight for freedom. As our leaders betray us and betray our freedom and our sovereignty here at home, I'm very disturbed about this. Are the Minutemen?
Absolutely, and you should be, because this is serious, serious things, and these are serious times. Our government is no more than playing patty cakes with us. Let's put it that way. They don't do their job. They took an oath to serve and protect American people. I took an oath when I went in the Marine Corps, and I will die with that oath. You have to protect and defend American citizens. These people are not doing their jobs. They're getting paid for working for the wrong country. They're working for Mexico.
I agree with you totally, and I think it's about time the American people realize we're being betrayed by our leaders who have a different allegiance. And I think, do you think the average individual really understands this is all about doing away with national sovereignty? About creating a regional government that will eventually be merged into a world government with the end of America as we know it? Do you think they understand that?
No, they don't.
How are we going to get the word out? Are the Minutemen getting the word out about the big picture? I mean, certainly everybody knows there's a problem on the border, but if you don't see the big picture, nothing's going to change.
Yeah, we're getting it out there.
All right, fine. We're going to be back here in just a moment or two with Al Garza. We'll get the information on how to get in touch with him, and we'll invite your calls here at 1-800-259-579.
This podcast is available on MP3 CD format at GCNlive.com or call toll-free 877-300-7645.
Shelby, you look
Oh, wait. Why did you turn that down?
I get so tired of that girl's squeaky voice. I'm sure the bed fan works, but that squeaky voice.
Well, what's the bed fan?
It's a fan that helps hot sleepers stay cool at night.
I could use something like that. This menopause thing is really getting to me at night, and you know how I am about doing that hormone therapy thing. Besides, you're a hot sleeper yourself. You're always throwing the covers off in the middle of the night.
I guess you're right. Why don't we try it? Just think how nice it'll be to sleep through the night.
Yeah, and just think how nice it'll be this summer and all the money we can save on air conditioning.
I know where we can get some more information.
Sleep disorder centers across the country recommend that you must stay cool to get a good night's sleep. The bedfan will keep you cool and give you the restful sleep you deserve. With our 30-day 100% guarantee, you risk nothing. Are you a hot sleeper? Is your partner a hot sleeper? The bedfan is the answer. Visit us today at www.bedfan.com. That's www.bedfan.com.
That's bedfan.com.
The war on terrorism, will it be fought overseas or will it affect us here at home? If you are like most folks, you want to be prepared but can't afford an underground shelter. So what do you do? Did you know that you can use your home as a shelter against fallout and biological or chemical attacks? With a little know-how, it's not that difficult. Sheltering in Place, Surviving Acts of Terrorism from Biological, Chemical, and Radioactive Fallout, developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government, gives you easy-to-follow video instructions and walks you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. Get this critical video every American needs for only $29 plus shipping. Order by calling New Millennium today at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
We at The Bible Says want to alert the world to the topic of the Mark of the Beast. Soon it will be upon us as an overwhelming surprise. The world is pressing toward a forced one-world religion. The real issue behind this is the union of church and state, nullifying our First Amendment. Americans will have to give up their peculiar beliefs and accept what the New World religious leaders prescribe. In 2005, President Bush signed the Real ID Act, which goes into effect May 11, 2008. Many people believe that this will be the mark of the beast because of the restrictive measures included, which seems to parallel the no buying and selling of Revelations 13:17. In Revelations 14:9, speaking of the mark of the beast, it says, "If any man worship the beast, take notice. It says, worship the beast." This issue is about worship, not economics. For a better understanding of this very important topic and to receive your three free books and a free DVD, call 1-888-211-1715. That's 1-888-211-1715.
And our guest today is Al Garza from the Minuteman. And before we go on, although I would mention our telephone number, if you'd like to call in, is 800-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791. But, Al, I'm sure you'd like to get your website and your contact information out there, so don't be bashful.
Very good. It's our website is Minuteman, single word, MinuteManHQ.com. Again, it's Minuteman, single word, HQ.com. And then we do have a phone number. It's 520-829-3112. And what the website is full of information. It's got current events. It's got the latest in what Congress is doing, what the Senate is doing, what our politicians are up to about our fence, anything and everything to do with what's going on with in terms of illegal immigration, loaded with info.
All right. Now, of course, the biggest thing is for the average American to realize the importance of really what's going on and the fact that there really are people who hate America, who would convert us from the nation we have been into a multicultural, multilingual society, and of course would eventually bankrupt us by simply making our welfare system and our safety net, responsible for so many of the people who live in Mexico who've worked here in the United States. And I dare say that the majority of people in Mexico would just love to come into this country, and because we offer so much more. Certainly they don't have a Social Security system like we do, and they don't have free medical care like we do, and they don't have subsidized housing and subsidized education like we do. How are we going to change this? How are we going to get the American people to understand the tremendous economic load that this is putting on us here, right here in California? Almost 10% of our budget is going to take care of and providing services for illegal immigrants.
Well, that's very true. In fact, that's one of our very main fights. If we take away the magnets, say, for example, like you're mentioning, the public services, they have to qualify. You have to be an American citizen, number one, to qualify for any kind of assistance. In this case, they don't qualify. They don't have to qualify because they're very well connected. The other thing is, for example, with medical, with a hospital, with clinics, they don't have to qualify because they fall under the umbrella of the Hispanic. If you do anything, ask anything, well, you're a racist and you're a prejudiced and you're biased, and therefore you could stand very well to go to court and be sued. So as opposed to doing all that, they just allow the system to absorb all these costs. That's what's going on. I've seen it with my own eyes. I happen to be Hispanic, and I know what they think, how they think, when they think it, and why they think it. So take away all these magnets to include putting the squeeze on the employers that are hiring illegal immigrants, who, by the way, are breaking laws as well. If you start putting the pressure on them, start finding them, incarcerating them, and deporting and securing the borders, the problem would go away all by itself. No need for amnesty.
I think you're absolutely right. But, of course, the federal government refuses to do that. They went around to one of our large meat packing plants, and I don't know, I think they found 1,000 people or something like that who were here illegally, but nothing was done to the employers, who obviously knew what was going on. And I don't know what they did to the people here illegally, but I'm sure that they replaced them with other people who are here illegally. My feeling, when this came out was this was all smoke and mirrors. It was all for the entertainment of the American people, so we'd applaud our fearless leaders who are fighting for our freedom here, all the while they're betraying the very Constitution that they've sworn to uphold. What was your take on that, this basically a major effort, propaganda piece, where they went around to the meatpacking plants?
Well, that's exactly the way we saw it. At least I saw it that way. I know for a fact that as much pressure as we put on them, they have to, and they know that we've been exposing them, they have to do something. And that, again, is smoke and mirrors. It's a dog and pony show, and let's hope that they mean business. But it's doubtful because you've only seen a handful of these occurrences, in fact, in some simultaneous effect. Here in the last few months, it was unheard of before. Now suddenly they show these big busts, and they're going to do another one tomorrow, and I think it's all a dog and pony show, to be quite frank with you. But that will automatically put us in the high gear. And now I think the Congress has no other choice but to listen, because America has finally awakened, and I believe that most of America believes in Christianity. The end of the world is coming soon, and I think this is only a big part of it, and ultimately we are going to wake up to a very, very bad fact, and that is to say that what's going on with illegal immigration and the drugs that are coming in, the open borders, those are all previews of coming attractions.
Well, of course, the thing is that as an evangelical Christian, I believe that the Messiah is coming, but he may not come for 30 or 40 or 50 years. And what's going to happen if he comes, 40 years after America's fallen? I mean, what are all these Christians who are sitting on their hands now going to think about that? I think the Christians have an obligation to be involved in this issue and not simply to say, well, I don't have to do anything.
Well, and that's correct. That's a good point, because obviously most of us, I know for a fact I'm Christian, and from the sounds of it, you're a Christian, and you are apparently a clergyman as well. And my
no, hardly a clergyman. Go ahead.
My take on all this is the fact that I do believe in God, and I do believe that we are close to time. But like you said, it could very well be 30, 40, 50 years in the interim. What's going to happen? Well, in the interim, this is what's going to happen. Our country is completely going to go down to its knees if we allow it to happen. Then we're going to really be wide open to an evil force or evil forces, which are the ones that we fight currently in America, because we're most of us believe we believe in God and we believe in Christianity. We believe in helping our next door neighbor, but you also have to do the right thing. The neighbor has to accommodate you as well. It goes both ways, and this is not what's happening.
Well, I certainly concur with that, and I think it's so vitally important that people have to take a stand right now. Now, basically, is there any new legislation coming down the line that is really going to address the immigration issues? Certainly, the immigration legislation they put out in the past, you know, was going to really give amnesty to the people who come here illegally. After promising that there would never be another amnesty in 1986, now they're asking for another amnesty now. And if they do, we're talking, you know, 20 or maybe 25 or maybe even more people here illegally, and then they can bring in their families and their families' families, and you're talking about another 100 million people here in another 15 or 20 years. What's that going to do to America?
Well, that's true. It'll bring it down to its knees, and that's really what their plan is, but we're not going to allow that to happen. We are, in fact, I'm just getting some word here. I sent for some other information, and I'm just receiving word that 73,000 letters went to our Senate today and the Congress, as well as to the President, is my understanding, about no amnesty, secure our borders first, amnesty for another day. We've been fighting that. It looks to me like we're doing what we're supposed to do, and this is going to happen. No amnesty, no guest worker program.
Now, where are these letters coming from? Are these letters that you're
our
generating?
Our own volunteers.
Okay. How many people do you actually have working with you, working for your organization?
We have 9,000 volunteers, and all these different volunteers, they have different functions. Some of them go into the Congress, some to the Senate, and pass out letters from petitions. Others, as I said, we go to the fence. Others go to the border. Others go out and protest. Others go out and do rallies. And we have produced this, as I said, from a handful of people back, 4 years ago. And today we're 9,000 strong and growing every day.
All right, fine. Now, do you have a central headquarters? Or is there any place that people can actually call and talk to people and see what they could do to really help?
Absolutely. They can go to our phone number is 520-829-3112. And then, again, I may want to repeat the website. That would be Minuteman, single word, MINUTEMAN, HQ.com.
All right. Well, let's give the telephone number again once again.
Sure. That's 520-829-3112. We can always accept volunteers, donations. So if they want to just get advice, if they just want to be kept up to speed, they're welcome to call that number or go to the website.
Well, my telephone number is 1-800-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791. If you have a question for Al Garza, who's certainly on the front lines of this battle, trying to let people understand what's really going on. Well, where is the current status of the fence that the Congress has voted to go ahead and put in? Now, my understanding is that, you know, the Mexican government has objected to putting in the fence. Mikhail Gorbachev, the former dictator of Russia, the former head of the KGB, says it's a terrible idea. After all, do you want a fence just like the Berlin Wall? I mean, talk about hypocrisy. I mean, that wall was meant to keep people in, not to keep them out.
Security on their side, south side of it, they won't let anybody in, and they call what we're attempting to do deplorable. Well, it's not deplorable. That's our right to do it as a sovereign nation that we are, and there's nothing been done. All they've been doing in Washington is just talking about fences. Then they talk about virtual fence, and they talk about different fences. They talk about no fences. I mean, it's just constantly a conversation that makes no sense at all. While we as Minutemen are busy doing what we're supposed to do, and that's roll up our sleeves and build fences and get protection for our American citizens.
Well, how much fence do you think you're going to be able to put in there this year?
This year, I think we're going to continue with what we got. We've already got, as I said, approximately 10 miles of some of it done. We've got another mile on the other side. We're going to go with another five. if things go right and the donations keep coming in and our volunteers are always ready to go, I would think it will take us some time, but in the next year or so, we'll probably wind up with at least 50 miles or more.
All right, fine. Well, of course, this is what the federal government should be doing and isn't doing because, of course, the people in charge really have a different agenda, and it's not to preserve America. If you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for Al, who's on the front line of the battle, our number is 1-800-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791. And, of course, as long as the jobs are here, I mean, can you blame the people for wanting to come here? Now, they shouldn't be violating our laws, but they're looking for a better life. They can make far more money here than they can, you know, by certainly living in Mexico, and a lot of them are really very, very impoverished, and they've got a totally corrupt society there. And they're but my fear is they're going to bring the same thing here. What is the effect of these criminal gangs that are coming in here, made up primarily of illegal immigrants?
Well, you know, it's a good point, because you're right. What they've done is they will not assimilate. I've known people that have been here for decades, and they still don't speak a word of English, and in most cases don't even understand it. They don't have to. They don't wish to. They don't want to. They don't have to assimilate. They've got their own stores. They've got their radio stations. They've got their TV stations. If they want to make a phone call, you press 1 for English. You press 2 for Spanish. So, I mean, you go to get a driver's license if you want one. You know, you just go in line, and the numero uno shows up and all these kind of things. So there's no reason for them to change. On the other hand, you've got the gangs, as you just mentioned, that have come through, and they themselves infiltrate with these people, and in most cases, they're related to these people. And you're talking about Mara Salvatruchas, you're talking about the gangbangers, you're talking about thugs, and as a result of all this, and most of it is predominantly Hispanic, most of it from Mexico. They do exist in L.A., they do exist in Chicago. You're talking about Texas, Austin, Houston. You're talking about New Mexico. You're talking anywhere you go. They've already got the gangs there and making a big difference in a very negative and evil way.
All right, fine. Well, I certainly share that. I think, what we're doing is, of course, we're in bringing a lot of people who have diseases into this country. We had pretty good control of a lot of these diseases. Now there are new diseases coming in. Certainly this is having a profound impact on our medical system here in California, I suspect, all across the country, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You've got TB. You've got all kinds of different diseases that have come through. And you know what? We deserve it. Let's put it that way. We are not out there securing the border. We're not out there demanding that these people be vaccinated. We're not demanding that they come through the port of entry. We're not demanding that we know who they are. They just walk on through. So the bottom line is, you don't know who's walking through. You don't know who your neighbor is. That neighbor could very well have some kind of a incurable disease, and that neighbor could very well be a gangbanger. And in most cases, they're both. So when it's all said and done, who's really the benefactor of all the problems? American citizens, as always. So you take it financially, physically, morally, and spiritually.
Well, the thing that bothers me, Al, is that, you know, most people have to work for a living. The people on the other side, financed by the people from the Ford Foundation and affiliated with the rich and powerful elite, are really behind this whole thing. I think this is what people really don't understand. This whole illegal immigrant movement, La Raza, Maldave, Lulac, they're all financed by the Ford Foundation. This subversive organization, a tax-exempt organization, has been working, going back, you know, many decades to destroy America.
Absolutely. And in fact, even our own federal government allows grants from our tax dollars to sponsor these people to fight the Constitution, to fight the American dream, to fight the Americans, because they do not believe and they do not like Americans. They hate Americans. They hate the concepts. They want to completely take over. And I thought that at one point that they would have had the Minutemen not shown up when they did. I think they would have taken over eventually.
Well, I think that what we have to do is educate the average individual. There are some people, and I'm sure you're reaching many, but we've got to reach just so many more. We've got to get them to understand what's going on. We have to get them to understand that what is taking place is going to touch the lives of every single person listen to this program. Well, you've got about 2 minutes to wrap up the program. Al, what message would you like to leave with our listeners today?
Well, the most important is to make sure that they wake up and smell the coffee, because we are in perilous times. This is just open borders the way they are. If they remain the way they are, we're going to be even worse off. Our America is being depleted. It's completely being abolished. The Constitution is being hammered at. They're taking bits and pieces away from it. And eventually the Americans are no longer going to be Americans. We're going to be North America something or other, or it could be North Mexico America. The bottom line is, these are serious times. And please, 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 either call us at that number or go to our website full of information. Stay up to date with us, and we will be more than happy to accommodate and help you out. But these are perilous times. Listen to what we're saying. Listen to what we're doing, and keep your eyes glued to current events. Watch your family. Take care of them.
Well, I certainly agree with you, Alan. I appreciate everything you and the others are doing there on the front lines of this battle. And, you know, I think the big thing is that we're all going to have to make sacrifices. If we really care about America and we care about freedom, because freedom is not free, it is lost when good people are not involved. Thank you very
That's
much
right.
for everything you do.
Doctor,
God bless
thank you. Thank you so much for your time, sir.
And give my best to Chris and the others there.
I will do it, sir. Thank you so much.
Righto. Bye-bye. Okay, we'll be back in just a minute to wrap up today's program. In the next hour, we're going to have Michael Prutka with us. Fascinating program. And you know that Ron Paul's got to think about running for president. Most exciting thing that's happened in almost 40 years.
American Discount Home Medical Equipment sells at discount prices. We sell wheelchairs, oxygen equipment, hospital beds, commodes, fast safety products, walkers, and other items needed for the care of your loved one at home. Our phone number is 1-800-956-6616. We sell at one half of retail price or less. We have free shipping and no sales tax for any shipment outside of California. You can expect to receive the item within 7 days. Our website address is www.home-med-equip.com. Again, our phone number is 1-800-956-6616.
More than 700 chemicals have been found in our drinking water. And did you know that you can have greater exposure to these chemicals by taking hot showers than when you drink the water? That's because many chemicals are inhaled when they evaporate, and others are absorbed through the skin. The KDF shower filter is designed to reduce chlorine, lead, mercury, and iron, and it inhibits the growth of bacteria, mold, algae, and fungus in your shower. The media is non-toxic, environmentally sound, and is recyclable. The KDF shower filter will typically last 10,000 gallons or 1 year, whichever comes first. Hospitals, restaurants, and water treatment facilities use this media to reduce chlorine, iron, heavy metals, and bacteria. What about you? Order your KDF shower filter, normally $49, for our special price of only $35, a $14 savings. Call now to order at 1-888-803-4438. Order today and save $14 by calling 1-888-803-4438.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle. And today, you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill.
I'm going there right now. Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
Well, Dr. Stan. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network. And if you really want to understand what this is all about, why, you need to get our four-tape sets. We've got a couple of four-tape sets on immigration. You need to get our four-tape sets on globalism. And, of course, there are interviews with Jerome Corsi, who goes into the background of how this whole idea of the Security and Prosperity Partnership, this whole idea of the certainly of the trans-American or the transnational highway, all ties into this idea of merging the United States with Mexico. There is a plan to build a North American community. You can get the book from the Council on Foreign Relations, which is the chief subversive organization in the United States. And, of course, you remember David Rockefeller was the chairman of this organization from 1965 till 1980. Before that, he was the vice president, and today is the honorary chairman. The Rockefeller family has dominated this America for 100 years. Their goal is to create a new international economic order. They hate national sovereignty. They are above us. They are the ruling elite. And, of course, they buy and sell politicians. And I suspect that they eliminate people. But they don't do it themselves. They hire other people to do it. This family, you know, you go back and you read the books that were written in the early 1900s of the ruthless techniques and the murders that were created by their thugs. Today, they, of course, you know, they have nice smiles and they have nice suits, but they're just as ruthless. They create wars and they send our boys off to fight in no-win wars in Vietnam and in Korea and, yes, in Iraq today. Iraq is simply Vietnam all over again. And Henry Kissinger, who is directing the betrayal of our boys there in Vietnam, the Gulf of Tonkin was as phony as a $3 bill, and yet we lost 58,000 boys for absolutely nothing. And that's exactly what's going on in Iraq and Afghanistan today. And certainly the Taliban are being armed and trained in Pakistan, and then they're coming into Afghanistan and killing our boys. And who's funding Pakistan, ladies and gentlemen? Stop and think about it. We're funding Pakistan. And we're keeping Musharraf in power. And he says, oh, shucks, there's just nothing I can do about it. And believe me, there's a great deal they can do about it. They just don't want to understand that we are betraying our boys. We're saying, we're sending them overseas to fight for freedom while we're losing our freedom here at home. You need to get our four tape sets on immigration. There are two of them. You need to get our recent four tape sets on globalism with Dr. Corsi. You need to get the video we have. It's actually a DVD called The Conquest of Aslan. You need to understand the spiritual forces that energize all of this. You need, of course, to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to find out about the Ford Foundation, one of the most powerful subversive organizations, along with the Carnegie and Rockefeller Foundation that have been working to undermine America. That's why you need a book that was written 50 years ago called Foundations, Their Power and Influence. We've kept it in print. We still have copies available. You can get it from Radio Liberty, and really only from Radio Liberty. Then, of course, you need to get Professor Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope. He was a liberal professor, but he was Bill Clinton's mentor, and he really wanted to find out what made things happen. And so he began studying the secret society that Cecil Rhodes created and shows how it interlocks with the powerful tax-exempt foundations and the invisible government that rules America. But as brilliant as Professor Quigley was, he never understood the spiritual forces that energized this whole incredible movement to bring about a new world order and a new world religion. Well, your job is, of course, to get the information out there and to understand that these people are responsible for countless millions of deaths. And, of course, they're working within the health field, poisoning our children with fluoride and mercury and aspartame. They're allowing cancer to spread and their effective treatments for it. Everybody's life is touched by this. You've got to become informed and help us get the word out. Again, our number 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. And remember our new frequencies, 9.480 and 5.755.
The War on Terrorism.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Christian civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and of course the views of our callers. And, well, you can be one of our callers later in the program if we ask for calls. But please hold your calls for the time being until we do call for them. Our guest this afternoon is Michael Perutka, and Michael has been working with the Constitution Party for some time. He was the Constitution Party presidential nominee 2 years ago. Took up the total conspiracy of silence from the controlled media, and that's what you would really expect when you realize that the media is controlled by the enemies of freedom who have a different agenda because, of course, they worship as a whole a different God. Well, our job, of course, is to get the information out, so I've asked Michael to come on and share his ideas with us about what's going on. I had asked him before he came on if he was thinking about running for the presidency again under the Constitution Party, and I think he said more or less that he wasn't. And I just want to get his opinion of the announcement that Congressman Ron Paul is setting up a committee to consider running for the presidency as a Republican. What are your thoughts on that, Michael?
Well, hello, Dr. Stan. Good afternoon, and good afternoon to your listeners. I am just privileged to be on your program. Thank you so much for your hospitality. I'm very grateful. You know, in your, I've heard you do your introduction a number of times now. You talk about being out there at beautiful Monterey Bay, and I'm sitting here thinking, what a hero! And I know you don't want to hear this, but I'm going to say it anyway. What a hero you are! Because a man like yourself, especially living in the beautiful part of the world you do, you could be at Spyglass or Pebble Beach, or you could be enjoying in any number of ways the frivolity that exists out there. But yet you're dealing in reality, and I thank you so much for the work that you do and the generous spirit in which you do it. You're truly to be commended. So I'm grateful to be with you and to talk to you again.
Well, I'm glad to be here with us because I know you're working back there. And, of course, Michael has created the Institute of the Constitution, and we work with the Institute trying to get people to understand that the Constitution is the foundation of our freedom. And if you hope to be able to maintain America, first of all, you have to understand the Constitution, and they're doing a great job. You know that Pastor Whitney, who works with Michael, is on with us every month on all of our stations, and I think that at least those people who listen to our program are beginning to get the idea, the understanding of what the Constitution was about, because it's certainly not taught in grammar school or high school or universities or even in law school, is it?
No, it's not only forgotten but suppressed in all the institutions, and that's as you and your listeners would understand, that's not any kind of accident or mistake. That's done very much on purpose. It's part of the revolution that we all have to understand and be able to articulate. But you mentioned Pastor Whitney. He is our senior instructor at Institute on the Constitution, and again, I'm grateful for your having him on once a month to talk about the Institute on the Constitution and the work that you are doing and he is doing with the Institute is very much bearing fruit, Dr. Stan. It really is bearing fruit. People all over the country are waking up to the truth. Now, many, many more need to do that, obviously, clearly. But the Institute and the materials that we put together and provide, which is, in a couple of words, Dr. Stan, it's just what we might call remedial civics. It's just really learning the basic foundational principles of American government and how it's supposed to work.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Michael Perutka, who lives back in Maryland, and of course he in Annapolis, Maryland. He ran for the presidency on the Constitution Party 2 years ago. I don't think he's going to do that again, because it was a yeoman's job. It was a great opportunity to get the information out, and of course he was never asked to be in a debate. They would major media. Hates the Constitution just as they hate Christianity, and they're never, of course, going to give the opportunity to have all sides heard. But of course, he certainly worked and worked very hard within the parameters that the establishment allowed to circulate his effort to run for the presidency. Well, anyway, right now, of course, we're 2 years away from the next run, and are you considering running again?
Well, Dr. Stan, thank you for asking that question. Many have asked it. At this point, there are kind of at least two pretty significant reasons that I don't see it on the horizon for me right now. Now, I never like to say that I'm not going to do it, because I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. It's in God's hands. But there are a couple of reasons of impediments to that at this point, at least for me personally. One being that I have some family obligations.
Right.
I need to be, that's really the primary reason. And what we read for president, our theme was God, Family, Republic, and there was a certain hierarchy there, a priority, and it's not God, Republic, Family, it's God, Family, Republic. And I have some family obligations that I need to tend to and make sure that I'm being a good steward of my role as a father and a husband. And as you can imagine, I'm not crying on anybody's shoulder, but it was an immense about a year and a half, and certainly during the year 2004, just an immense time and commitment and family commitment. We were in 22 states and did hundreds and hundreds of radio interviews and some TV, etc. So that was just. I appreciate the opportunity to have done that, but I've got young sons here now, and I've got a daughter who's in college, and I've got to do job one first.
I
don't see it in the horizon for me, at least this time around.
All right, fine. Well, what do you think about the fact that Ron Paul has announced he's setting up an exploratory committee to run for the presidency as a Republican?
Well, let me speak directly to that. First of all, I have a great deal of respect for Dr. Ron Paul.
Hold that thought right there. We'll be back. Well, yeah, this is Dr. Stan, and I was just asking Michael Perutka what he thinks about the fact that Senate Congressman Ron Paul is thinking about setting up an exploratory committee to consider running for the presidency on the Republican Party ticket. And so I wanted to get Michael's views on that. Now, Michael has been affiliated with the Constitution Party for some years, and certainly I agree entirely with the platform of the Constitution Party. Of course, I agree with the platform of the Republican Party. The trouble is the people who write it don't believe a word of it. I mean, that's just like patting a little boy on the head. And so now this is the way things are. You know, you just be a good little boy and you do what you're told, and then they turn right around and do just the opposite. I'm talking about the people who are patting the little boy on the head, not the boy himself. We're the little boys, and of course they patronize us. They tell us how, you just vote for the Republican Party and everything's going to be fine, and we're going to cut spending and we'd never go to war, and we're going to have a moral agenda, and we're going to have family agenda, and we're going to stop abortion, and then of course how many human lives did they save, and of course they increased funding for Planned Parenthood, the massive spending, the greatest deficits we've ever known, the country's on the verge of financial chaos, we're in a war we never should have been in, we've been deceived by the Republicans. We always thought the Democrats were bad, but anyway, we want to hear what Michael thinks. What do you think of Ron Paul running for the presidency, or at least exploring the idea?
Well, first of all, I agree with what your summary that you just made there about the Democrats and the Republicans saying that we're going to do something different. Of course, they do more of the same, and so really they are the more dangerous party in a sense, because they fly a false flag. So that's really a lot of the reason why I had joined the Constitution Party and had and worked for its agenda. Dr. Paul, during that time, by the way, I have a great deal of respect for Dr. Ron Paul. I've met him on a couple of occasions. Matter of fact, he was helpful to me just in terms of some advice running as a third-party candidate. I met him in his office. He was very gracious with his time and gave me some counsel. And so I very much appreciate that. I think that he is probably a very uniquely qualified person they call him, of course, in the Congress, they call him Dr. No, because he votes as, by principle, he votes against many of the things, because to vote for almost any of the legislation that is passed by Congress or even voted on by Congress would be to violate your oath of office. And he understands that. He's a man that understands that and acts on principle. So I guess I have to say that although I might not agree with him on every point, and we have some foundational principle issues, I think that his entry into the race would be a wonderful fresh air kind of thing, and would be someone if they gave him the time, if they gave him the what we call the face time on TV, if they gave him the media time, he would be much more difficult to ignore than I was as a candidate. I was much easier for them to ignore. He'd be, as a sitting congressman, he'd be more difficult to ignore. So what they would probably do, and I don't mean to sound so cynical here, but I think it's justified. I think what they would do is like not unlike they did to Pat Buchanan when he was starting to get some ground a few years ago. They just had to demonize him. You know, you remember the pitchfork Pat kind of characterization, and they would probably find a way to characterize Ron Paul as some kind of lunatic, fanatic fringe, whereas the kind of things that he would be promoting are nothing but, I mean, if not mainstream in terms of his probably his policy decisions. So his policy positions, I should say. So I am glad for Dr. Paul's entrance or anticipated entrance into the race.
Well, I think, you know, I think this is going to be a beautiful opportunity for the average citizen to see how the media is controlled and how they will demonize and marginalize and attack him, and they will find something he may have said sometime in the past and twist what he said or take things out of context. You see, the media in America, and I know you know this, Michael, but for our listeners out there, the media is controlled. I mean, when I first heard that 44 years ago, I couldn't believe it.
Sure.
The media's control. Why, we've got a free media. We've got freedom of the press. Well, the freedom of the press is, if you own the press, you've got the freedom to delete whatever you want to. And there are 5 mega corporations that control the media. If you want the details, we carry a book called The New Media Monopoly, written by a left-wing professor at the University of California. But I don't care whether he got a pointed head. What he says is absolutely true.
Sure. Well, you know, along those same lines, Dr. Stan, I have been reading a book by Frank Rich, and perhaps you've read it, called The Greatest Story Ever Sold. It's out on the newsstands now.
Of course, Frank Rich is, for our listeners, is one of those liberal writers for the New York Times. But go ahead.
And I'm sure he's a New York Times columnist and writer. And by the way, some of his characterizations about what he calls the religious right, he calls them like American Ayatollahs, etc. So he's not a man that I'm going to agree with on very many foundational issues. However, what he points out in this book is the great lies and that were told to get us into the war in Iraq, and the way that it was a huge production number, and he actually recounts a great deal of the kind of production pieces. When I say production, I mean like Hollywood kind of produced pieces, like George Bush on that aircraft aircraft carrier, which I just think is so aptly named. It was the Abraham Lincoln, oh my lord. You know, his appearance there with the mission accomplished, and his, of course, the mission is anything but accomplished, and probably the idea of the war on terror that construction of language, if that's not the most Orwellian thing that I have heard since high school, I'm hard pressed to think of the next thing. The idea that we would conduct a war on terror, and that the media, in concert with the administration, could get the American people to start using that term as if it were meaningful or real in some way, is such a dangerous and as I say Orwellian concept. It's just ludicrous. The idea that we're going to conduct a war on terror. First of all, terror is not an enemy that you can go to war against. Terror is a tactic of an enemy. And we use it ourselves, by the way. If shock and awe is in terror, I don't know what is. So this whole construction of language is dangerous and loose and stupid, and we have accepted it as a people. And that's happened because of the overwhelming, except for a couple of reasons, the overwhelming success of the public school system in making us, in dumbing us down to accept whatever is fed into our mouths, and the complicity of the managed, what I call them now, the managed media, by the powers that be. It's amazing that actually they've got Americans saying silly things like the war on terror.
Well, of course, if you notice now, the nomenclature is changing. Now we're not fighting so much the war on terror. We're fighting radical Islamists. Well, basically, the radical Islamists are the traditional followers of Muhammad. In other words, he was an advocate of jihad. So what are we really doing is launching a crusade against the followers of Muhammad. Most Muslims, at least in the past, have been very moderate. They may have gone through the form of their religion because they're frightened into doing it. And of course, if you're a Muslim and you try to leave the religion, they kill you. That's just that simply. They simply kill you. And yet, of course, George Bush tells us we all worship the same God. How could he say that with a straight face? I don't know.
That's the dichotomy. That's the incredible dilemma of what's being said here. On the one hand, we're saying we're going to war against this other faith, and at the same time, we're saying, well, that faith is the same as our faith.
And, of course, the great tragedy for our listeners is that there really weren't very many people who were really advocates of jihad within the Muslim religion until recently. In other words, we have done everything we could to inflame the anger and hostility of the Muslims, and after all, if we've moved into their country and killed, been responsible for killing hundreds of thousands of their people, wouldn't you expect them to be just a little angry? And then the president said, it was a mistake we did that, but we're going to continue sending more troops to make the same mistake over and over again. And if you were a Muslim living over in Iraq, wouldn't you feel maybe we were stealing the oil and occupying their country? And of course, that is the basic tenet of the Muslim faith, that if somebody is on your land, a Muslim land, they are to be rejected. And that's, of course, why so many are fighting. These are not terrorists. There may be a few that are being sent in and financed by our good friends in Saudi Arabia, and a few financed by our good friends in Pakistan, and a few being financed by Iran, where we actually had brought the Ayatollahs to power back in 1979, or Syria, where our CIA had sent over a man to be tortured a few years ago. You remember that poor guy, that Canadian, that we arrested and sent to Syria to be tortured? Why would we send him to Syria? I thought they were the enemy, or maybe nothing as it appears to be. But anyway, I share your concern, and I enjoy Frank Rich's articles, and what really bothers me is sometimes I even agree with them.
Well, yeah, and that's what I'm saying. We're not fellow travelers in any sense, a man like Frank Rich and myself, or you or yourself. But yet, his book, which again is called The Greatest Story Ever Sold, The Decline and Fall of Truth from 9/11 to Katrina, is all about the lies and the misinformation and disinformation. And I bring it up in the context of what you mentioned about the managed media, because the managed media is eye deep in complicity in this thing. What could be sillier, Dr. Stan, than to hear a president and the media repeat that these Muslims hate us because we're free? They hate us because we're free? Well, first of all, that's absurd. We're not we're not really a free people, but that's another program. But
we'll be back in just a minute, Mike. Sure. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Michael Prudkin. And, of course, he's talking about Frank Ritz, a liberal reporter for the New York Times. But as with so many of the liberal reporters, they never tell you the whole story. I mean, everything he said is true, but he will never tell you that the same people control, the New York Times, who control the Wall Street Journal, who control the Washington Post, who control the National Review, and certainly Reader's Digest. In other words, they control both the liberal and the conservative branches of the media, but the liberals will never tell you that, and Frank Ritz would not have a job if he told you the truth.
Right. Well, one of the constructions of language, Dr. Stan, that I think is so interesting that we've been discussing is this idea that they hate us because we're free. And as you aptly bring up, they don't hate us because we're free. They hate us because our boots are on their soil. They hate us for the same reason that our forefathers hated the British. And that's why we have the Third Amendment that says that you can't quarter troops in homes. I mean, because the British invaded our families when they quartered their troops in our homes, and they raped our women, and they controlled our families. I mean, there are horror stories which occurred, and we are, you've heard about Abu Ghraib, but we are invading and occupying a country that we have no constitutional right to be in and no authority to be involved there. And, McCain, in the hearings today, Senator McCain was questioning the new Secretary of Defense just today, following on the President's speech where, we've done this all wrong, but we're going to send 21 more thousand troops to continue doing it wrong because we don't want to, I can't make the argument that he makes because it's so silly. John McCain, in defending the president, says those who are attacking the president's plan, I want to ask them one question: what action would you take? What would you be doing? And the answer, of course, is very easy, Senator: nothing. Absent a jurisdictional authority to be there. Something that would justify us being in Iraq? No, the answer is nothing. We don't belong there at all. We were talking about Frank Rich's book where he rehearses and others have rehearsed the various lies and false were made to bring us into that war, and we shouldn't be there at all. The best thing to do is to get out quickly.
And I think your point is so well made. And in fact, this last weekend we were watching the story of Palestine, and of course it was occupied by the English at the time of the First World War, and they remained there, of course, until 1948. And when it became obvious that there was going to be a conflict between the Jews and the Arabs, and they were going to declare a sovereign Israeli state, and the Arabs objected to that, there was going to be a war. What did the British do? They packed up and left. They didn't say, well, if we leave, well, there's going to be a bloodbath here. They said, we don't want to be part of the bloodbath. And exactly. Somebody's going to have to be in charge, and it's not going to be us. And they simply picked up and left. And the Arabs fought the Israelis, and eventually the war came to an end within a relatively short period of time. And that's exactly hold that thought.
Sure.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Michael Prudka. And Michael's really one of my favorite people, and certainly with the Institute of the Constitution, which helps Radio Liberty, and we're really pleased to be able to put their programs on. But I was just talking about what happened in Palestine, 1948. The British had a mandate there going back to a 1919-1920 United Nations mandate, and then ruled Palestine. But when they declared an independent Israeli state, and the Arabs were obviously going to fight the Jews, what did the British do? Why, the British simply packed up and left. It wasn't their fight. They didn't want to be in the middle. and the fight between the Shias and the Sunnis, we've actually broken down a corrupt secular society, we've created a corrupt sectarian society, and there's no way we can heal the hostility and hatred between the Shia and the Sunni Muslims. And the sooner we get out of there, the sooner the fighting will end, and the Sunni and the Shias will come together, and they'll make up some sort of a truce, and exactly what the Arabs and the Israelis did after the 1948 war. But the longer we stay, the longer the bloodshed's going to continue in Iraq. And nobody wants to say that.
No, anything but that. Anything but that is said. Of course, you know, John McCain says today in the hearing with the new Secretary of Defense Gates, he says to the critics of the president's plan, I say, what would you do as the Iraq descends into violence and chaos? And the answer is nothing. It's violence and chaos now, for Lord's sake, and we are causing it, as you pointed out. Look, this might sound simplistic, Dr. Stan, and I ask your listeners to forgive me if I'm just engaging in the simplistic analogy, but I think it holds. Look, I live here in Maryland, and let's say one of my neighbors five streets over, okay, the other side of my neighborhood. Let's say in my neighbor's home over there, there's chaos. Let's say that his wife is unfaithful and his children are rebellious, and he's got these problems. Now, I may actually know how to help him solve those problems. I may actually have a better plan than he's using. But does that give me a right to go over into his living room and start giving orders to his wife and his children?
And
much less to take my gun over there and do it? I mean, look, the first question is, what authority do I have? What jurisdiction do I have to be there? And we absolutely, the answer to that question, by the way, is none. I have none. And just to say that I'm already over there and I've been there for 2 weeks trying to solve his problems and it's chaos and a mess, and I say, well, if I leave now, there'll be chaos and a mess. Well, that's no excuse to stay. Just because there'll be a bad situation when I leave. I have no... The very first question that's really never asked anymore, except by fellows like you and me, is, well, what constitutional authority do we have to send American troops to Iraq? And we have none.
Absolutely, and this is the significant thing. People have to understand it is a great diversion, and our boys are over there fighting and dying and killing and being killed, while we're losing our freedom here at home.
Sure.
And of course, step by step, they are using the threat of terrorism or of Islamic extremism to spy on every American. The president said, "We've got to open your mail." We found out now that every cell phone has a little microphone in it, and of course, you can have your cell phone turned off, but that doesn't matter. They can listen to your conversation. They can listen to you in your car if you have OnStar, you know, direction finder, global positioning. They can listen even when your telephone is hung up in your rooms. They have means of listening to every telephone conversation, reading every email, reading every fax, and they were doing this long before 9-1-1 under a Project Echelon. Now they're just trying to make it legal, what they've been doing illegally, because they're people who have a different worldview. And they really don't believe in freedom. They believe control by a ruling aristocracy. Now, that's where we're headed.
That is why, and thank you again for your program and for your work. And I said it earlier, and I know it embarrasses you to hear me say this, but I am so grateful for your patient and methodical exposition of these matters. So thank you on behalf of the American people for doing what you do. But that is why, what you just explained is why we began Institute on the Constitution. And if I could, I know that you advertise it on your program. If I could just give a brief, you don't mind, commercial.
You give a real quick one. Give your telephone number, web page, and then when we get our stations back.
IOTConline.com. IOTC stands for Institute on the Constitution. IOTConline.com will get you to the website where you can be part of the restoration of the American Republic by uncovering and reconnecting to the foundational principles of American law and government.
We'll be right back here in just a moment. Well, Michael, as soon as we get all of our stations back on, why, of course, we'll give you an opportunity to get that web page out several times and the telephone number, but unfortunately, the computer runs the program. I just sort of sit here and do what I'm told to do. Anyway, but I think you're absolutely right. I mean, until people understand that they have no right, you know, to put little microphones, little switches into our cell phones so they can listen to our conversations. And if you doubt this, we'll be glad to provide you the information, ladies and gentlemen. The information is there. You're just not hearing about it. Or the fact that they, you know, have been listening for years through the computers to everybody's telephone calls, not just here in the United States, but all throughout the world. The Europeans are furious. They've been monitoring every fax and every email, every financial transaction. Why are they doing that? It has nothing to do with terrorism. It has everything to do with control, because there are people who have a different worldview. And these people are lawbreakers. And when you understand the Constitution, you'll understand that these people are violating the law and they should be punished accordingly. Would you agree with that?
Of course I would. And one of the things I'd kind of add to that, Dr. Stan, is these people who are, it's doubly evil, because these people are the people who are charged with keeping the law. And if you're familiar with Bastiat's work, The Law, Frederick Bastiat, who wrote a short work called The Law back in about 1848, he made the statement, and he developed the thesis of legal plunder, where the law is used to break the law. And that's precisely what we have going here. We have the law perverted, twisted, subverted. It's actually goes a long way to explain why people hate lawyers. because of course I am a lawyer, that's why I'm saying that, but there are very few lawyers in America really who understand, and I didn't understand. I was guilty as charged here. I didn't understand for years of my law practice that I didn't know where the law came from. I didn't understand its true source and nature. And so I accepted this evolutionary humanistic idea that the courts make up law as they go along, and that's the way it ought to be. And that's taught in all the law schools in America, and it's accepted by almost all the attorneys, except a few of us who have been born again and then realize that God is the ultimate authority and the source and nature of the source of law.
And first, Michael is just saying that where does law come from? Law comes from God. Certainly, our founding fathers recognized that. And the whole idea of our country was based upon biblical principles. Now, not that we were going to have a theocracy at all. The magnificence of the American concept was we were going to have a type of government where we would have self-government, and men would be answerable to God, and they would abide by God's rules, and then you wouldn't have to have a tyrannical government. The whole idea of America was to limit the power of government and have a moral people and teach people moral principles. And as John Adams had said so well, our form of government is made for a moral and religious people. It wouldn't work for any other. Well, that's why, of course, they set out to destroy the morality of our nation, why the evil people were placed on the Supreme Court by Franklin Delano Roosevelt and Harry Truman to take God and prayer out of our schools, and eventually the Ten Commandments out, and to lead to the moral anarchy that we have today. Because those will not be God, ruled by God, will be ruled by tyrants, and the tyrants want that. They understand that you cannot have a limited government when you have immoral people, and that's why they've been working so hard through the media and television and Hollywood and our schools to create an immoral generation who doesn't understand the basic principles of our Constitution, and that government governs best, that governs the least, and the only way you can be free is to limit the power of government. And in the name of fighting those wicked terrorists, we've just got to give up all of our freedom. That's what they're telling us today. And you know, there are actually some people who believe that, Mike.
Well, many people believe it, but they see, they couldn't have gotten that over and gotten that through unless and until the people had been dumbed down to such a point that they that a majority of them would swallow that. Now everybody doesn't swallow that lie, but enough people now do swallow the lie that they get away with it. For example, you mentioned Roosevelt and Truman putting evil people on the Supreme Court, people who were God haters and people who wanted to remove God from the public arena and from public discourse. Well, that would not have been possible 50 years before that. It's only possible after a couple of things occurred, and you've mentioned really, actually mentioned all of them that I think are salient. One is that the government schools have been immensely successful. Not a failure. We think of them as failures because they don't teach kids to read, but they're not failures because that's not what they were designed to do. They were designed to dumb down children and to remove the moral values from children. They were designed to de-Christianize America from the kids up. And that's they've been largely successful because they've had a few generations now doing exactly that. The other huge culprit is I guess we could call it the entertainment media, the major media, that has contributed to this. It's taken these alternate lifestyles and perverted morals and made them just seem just another way of living as opposed to evil and wrong and sinful. So once those two factors have done their work, those two vehicles have done their work, then people like Roosevelt and Truman could get away with what they got away with by putting these kind of evil men in positions of authority so that they could pervert and subvert the law, and we would sit back and go, oh yeah, but we're safe and the trains run on time and we have our Game Boy or whatever. So it's all of that, I think, Dr. Stan, is of a piece. It's all connected. The people who want a new world order and the member of the council, members of the Council on Foreign Relations, etc., they've had high positions in every administration going way back for a long time now, and so they've been able to they're way down the road on their agenda of de-Christianizing and therefore revolutionizing America. And look, what we're part of with Institute on the Constitution is really the Reformation. We're looking at the ruins of what America was, and we're saying, like Psalm 11 verse 3 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what do the righteous do? Well, there's only one thing to do, and that's to rebuild the foundation. We just need to start back at the foundations and build them again. And happily, we have the documents still exist from our founding fathers. In other words, the markers, the monuments, are still in place. They actually are still there. We can go back and read them, and we can understand them. And we have to teach them to our children and to our brothers and sisters, and rebuild those foundations. And that's what Institute on the Constitution is all about. And again, I ask people to go to IOTConline.com. IOTC stands for Institute on the Constitution. IOTConline.com. And find out what a lot of your neighbors are finding out about, and that is reconnecting with the principles and the foundational principles of American law and government so that we can be part of the reformation and the restoration, I should say, of the America and the American way of thinking that your great grandfather understood clearly, and that you don't. So you may not understand clearly. So these are exciting times and exciting materials because it is a glimpse back to this is nothing really new. It's something old that's true and right and righteous. So I ask people to consider if what we're saying makes any sense to you folks, if this touches a chord in you and you go, I'd like to learn more about that, and I'd like to be part of that restoration, then please go to IOTConline.com and please consider listening to our program. Listen to Dr. Stan, but we have a website called TheAmericanView.com, TheAmericanView.com, where we discuss these issues of the day as up against this American view of law and government and the original American view that we study and institute on the Constitution. So I ask people to consider very, very much. You could sit on the sidelines and do nothing, or you could just complain, or you can get busy and get your community busy, and we're here to help you do that.
All right, first of all, now I want you to give your telephone number two times.
Okay, you can contact us at 410-768-2280.
Give it one more time. You always have to give it twice.
Sure, 410-768-2280.
And your web page twice again.
Okay, sure. IOTConline.com. IOTConline.com.
And let me really suggest you do that. Yeah, it was many years ago we put together a 10-point program. You know, I've been pondering what to do for 44 years, so I came up with this 10-point program, and the first one was, understand your relationship with God. I mean, that is the foundation of your very being. Understand your foundation and your personal relationship to God. But the second one, before we begin talking about the Council on Foreign Relations, the Great Tax Exempt Foundations, the Skull and Bone Society, this worldwide satanic conspiracy we refer to, the second point was understand the Constitution, because you have to understand what you're in favor of before you can understand what you're against. And this was long before I'd ever heard of Michael Perutka or the Institute of the Constitution. And that's why I was so grateful when I suddenly realized there was somebody who was dedicated to actually rekindling that spark and belief in our nation, and why we support the Institute of the Constitution, and why, if you care about America out there, you need to get one of their kits. You need to begin putting this on for your friends and others. You need to be able to discuss the Constitution and why what the Republicans are doing is unconstitutional, why what the Democrats are doing is unconstitutional, why the war in Iraq, of course, is a genocidal and murderous effect, and somebody's got to be held by responsible. There is no justification for going into Afghanistan to catch Osama bin Laden and then not catching him. And then why are we still there? I mean, he's not. So nobody thinks that Osama bin Laden is still in Afghanistan. So why are we still there? I thought we went there to catch him. And then somehow they shifted gears and they went into Iraq. And now they're talking about Iran and Syria. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're out there listening on it, can you imagine what it would be like if we go into World War III, and if you think we're going to escape the ravages that we've brought to Iraq and Afghanistan? I think you're living in a different world. I saw Germany after the Second World War. I saw the rubble of those great German cities that had been there for 1,000 years. Would you like to see that in New York and Los Angeles and San Francisco and Washington, D.C.? Because when you start a war, you never know how it's going to end. And believe me, Pakistan has nuclear weapons. India has nuclear weapons. They're not telling you that Saudi Arabia has nuclear weapons, but they do. And there are many of these Muslim countries that have access to them. And if they don't have them, they can always get them from our good friends in Russia and China. And I'm sure that both of those countries would like to fight to the last American soldier. Well, go right ahead, Michael.
Well, no, Dr. Stan, I very much appreciate that, and what one of the cues you've given me there, and what you said is, point number one is get your relationship with God. Know who the rule maker is, and know what your relationship with Him is. That's number one. And number two, you said know the Constitution, and you're right. You and I can talk about Council on Foreign Relations, and we can talk about the permutations and the combinations of the evil that exists out there. But your point is so well taken by me. Let's get back to the basis. My good mentor and friend Howard Phillips used to say to me, "Thou shalt know the rules." Right? If you're going to get involved in something, he was talking actually about ballot access at the time. But basically, his I think it holds true in anything. Thou shalt know the rules. If you want to get involved, the first thing you need to do is you need to know what the supreme law of America, the supreme law of the land, what it says. You need to know what it says. And, you probably heard Pastor Whitney talk about this. He was in a debate back here in Maryland a couple of months back, and one of the opponents in the debate looked over at a book he had next to him, and it was the Constitution of the State of Maryland. And the man said, what's that? And he said, it's the Constitution. And the gentleman said, can I get a copy of that? Now, this gentleman was a member of the House of Delegates of Maryland. He was an elected official who had sworn an oath to protect and defend that very Constitution. And what he was admitting in that to Pastor Whitney was, he not only had never read it, he didn't own a copy. That is the condition of our elected officials. That is the condition of our congressmen, our senators, and our state elected officials, with very few exceptions. And that's our fault, because we had no business voting for them unless we were convicted and knew and were convinced that they did know that document and were willing to apply it. And so that's our fault, and it's a big problem. It's a big problem. But you know how the old joke is, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. You need to begin to understand these principles, and if nobody ever asked you to sit down and learn these things, then Michael Perug is asking you now, and Dr. Stan's asking you now. Get involved with these things. You can go to iotconline.com. You can start to get materials. We actually, Dr. Stan, have what we call a host lecture kit. And I know that Pastor Whitney has talked to you about it, but this is designed so that people in their own community, in their own church, can take these materials and conduct a class. And believe me, by the time you go through this 12-step class, 12 sessions, we do it. By the time you do, you will know more about law and government and the Constitution than your attorney, than most attorneys in America, and you'll know more about it than probably your elected representative. And you'll be in a position then. You'll have the tools with which you can hold them accountable. You can't hold them accountable now because you don't know what they're supposed to be doing. You don't know what the rules are. So you need to learn that first, and then you will be in a position to make complaint, if complaint is justified, or to make suggestions. And your suggestions and your complaints will be based on the law, which now, if you don't know your Constitution or the Constitution of the United States of America, they're just based on your feelings.
And, of course, that's why they call Dr. Ron Paul Dr. No, because many times the vote will be a 434-1, or maybe 434-3, something like that. He votes on the Constitution. He doesn't have to think about, is it a good idea, is it a bad idea, would it be helpful, would it be faulty, you know. He says, is it constitutional? That should be the basis of the decision.
Another way of saying, do we have the authority to do this? Not whether or not this is a good idea. Should we plant flowers on the roadsides? It might be pretty. We could even maybe afford it. But do we have the authority to do it?
Amen to that. Well, let's go to Larry, who's one of our good friends, calling from Paso Robles. Hi, Larry. How are you doing?
Hi, how are you, Dr. Steve?
I'm doing fine. Did you have a question for our guest?
Yes, Mr. Bruca. Now, this question isn't meant that... Well, okay, let me start this way. I voted for you the last time there was an election, and then the Libertarian Party. And but this morning I read on PrisonPlanet.com that Ron Paul, there'd be a possibility maybe he would run as president. Do you think that would be something that would be helpful for a movement to get someone constitutionally minded in the White House?
Well, yeah, I don't know if you're listening to the top of the program, Larry, but we did talk about Dr. Ron Paul, and I think his entrance into the presidential contest would be something certainly that I would welcome, because constitutional issues would be discussed and debated. And I mentioned that Dr. Paul was very helpful to me when I was running. When I was considering running, I went to him for counsel, and he was nice enough to sit down with me and kind of warn me about some things and give me some advice. And I very much appreciated that. So, I admire him. I'm not with him on all fours on many things. He has some kind of libertarian beliefs that I don't share. Mm-hmm. But he has a massive understanding of the United States Constitution and is able to articulate his reasons for justifiably being called Dr. No. So I welcome his entry into the race.
Larry, I think it's the most exciting thing that's happened in since Barry Goldwater ran for president in 1964. I am so excited about this. I first heard about it yesterday evening. And, you know, even my wife doesn't agree with me on everything. But, you know, on just about everything, he's on the right side. Yes, there might be a few things from the libertarian point of view. But many times, of course, he will justify his position, you know, on a constitutional basis. And you can't argue with him. I think that we have a lot to be thankful for that he's willing to undertake this, and I think we should do everything we can to help him. We'll be talking to you more about that later, Larry. God bless you. Thanks for calling.
God bless you too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Larry.
Okay, fine. That's Larry calling from Paso Robles. Well, 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program, Michael.
Oh, well, again, Dr. Stan, I want to thank you for the work that you do in trying to get people to understand, really, I would say, the revolution that has occurred in America. It's, and I say it has occurred, sir, because the American way of thinking, the American view of law and government, which our founders rested their decision to break with Great Britain on, in the Declaration of Independence, they proclaimed that there is a God. Secondly, that our rights come from him. Thirdly, the purpose of government is to protect and defend those rights. That's its purpose. That's its raison d'etre. And fourthly, that if any government becomes destructive of those ends, that it should be altered or abolished. That's what the Declaration of Independence says. Those are the foundational principles on which America is began. There is a God. Our rights come from him. The purpose of government is to protect and defend those rights. If a government doesn't do that, then you get rid of it. This is what we teach in Institute on the Constitution. This is what we expound upon. This is what has been lost in America today and needs to be recovered. It's nothing new. It's old. It's true. It needs to be rediscovered. Mark Twain, I think, said that it ain't what a man don't know that makes him a fool. It's all the things he does know that just ain't so. let me say that again. He said, it ain't what a man don't know that makes him a fool. It's all the things he does know that just ain't so. And today in America, we know a lot of things that just ain't so. We know that America's a democracy. We know that the Republicans and Democrats are two different parties. We know that the war between the states was fought over the issue of slavery. All of these things are patently false. None of these things are true. Many, many things that we operate on are not true. And so we need to, your program, Dr. Stan, and others like it, and what we're trying to do, we're trying to uncover and get rid of those myths and get back to the basics. The very first thing is personal morality begins at home. It begins in the individual. Morality begins in the individual. It begins personally. And then, secondly, we need to know what the rules are. We need to know our Constitution. We need to know our form of government. And I strongly urge people to go to IOTCOnline.com, IOTCOnline.com, and also to go to theamericanview.com, where we have a forum and we discuss these things, and we try to hold what's happening up in America today in the body politic up against this American view that I just described, up against this American view of law and government, and see whether it fits. And you know, and I know that many things today don't fit, including what we discussed this evening about the war in Iraq, etc. So we have a lot of work to do. God bless us. God has blessed us with a lot of work to do.
God bless. We're out of time here. Well, our guest has been Michael Prutka. Michael, thank you so much for being with us. And I hope we can get you on to all of our programs this month and maybe in the months to come, because we need to get people back to the basics if we ever hope to be able to move forward towards freedom. Thank Michael, you. Are you there?
Yeah, thank you very much, Dr. Stan. It's been a pleasure to be with you. I sure appreciate your hospitality.
God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless.
Okay, and fine. Michael was quoting Mark Twain. The only counter that I can come up with is, of course, the a quotation from Will Rogers, who said, "No man's life or property is safe when the legislature's in session." And of course, they recognized the government was the enemy. In fact, it was, as Thomas Paine had said, "All societies are good, but government, even at its best, is a necessary evil." That's what our founding fathers said. And people are going to say, you're anti-government. You're right. Our founding fathers were anti-government. They feared the government because they knew it would one day become tyrannical. And increasingly it's becoming tyrannical today. But you understand, everything the government is doing is to protect us from the wicked Osama bin Laden, who's probably been dead for well over a year. Why do you think we don't see any pictures of him? Why do you think all we see are the pictures that were taken 4 or 5 years ago? They can't tell us Osama bin Laden's dead. We have to have an enemy. So we'll cower in fear and rally behind the government. Ladies and gentlemen, you have to understand, freedom is at stake today. But behind this is this spiritual battle that has existed since the beginning of time between the forces of God and the forces of darkness. We carry something called the Freedom Documents. They're basically the documents that made America great. Not only the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, Washington's Farewell Address, the Mayflower Compact, the Gettysburg Address. There are 50 documents that our friend Chuck Baldwin has put together in a well-bound a booklet, and well, it's about 2 inches thick. Let me suggest you get that. It's a great gift, but it's also something you want to have right at your fingertips, because you have to understand the foundation of our freedom. I certainly remember what Michael was talking about, the Institute of the Constitution. We recommend his program. And we work with him because we think they're dedicated to preservation of freedom. And if you think we're going to be able to preserve our freedom with the wealthiest people in this country want a dictatorship, well, you're sadly mistaken, unless, of course, we can point out that they are violating our laws. Now, if you don't believe that there's a conspiracy out there, a cabal that is conspiring, why, you need to get David Rockefeller's memoirs and read page 405, where he talks about the fact there's a cabal that's conspiring against America to create a new international economic order. And he says that that's a charge. I'm part of it. I plead guilty. Call us at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Ask for David Rockefeller's memoirs and learn how his daughter is such a good friend of that wonderful humanitarian Fidel Castro, who killed about 15,000 people when he came to office. But why don't we ever demand that he be tried for crimes? And then, of course, we have David Rockefeller's memoirs. We have the Freedom Documents. We have certainly my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. We have so much information. It's available by going to 1-800-544-8927. And to put things into perspective, you need, of course, to get the DVD, the Solar Souls for Rock and Roll, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, 10-hour version, and you'll hear the prominent musicians talking about how they sold their souls to the devil. There really are people who've done that. They're working at the highest levels of society today, but most of them are not going to come forward and tell you. But you'll hear the musicians going into the background, the Crowleyites, followers of Aleister Crowley, who was a Satanist. Get the books we have on Aleister Crowley, certainly A Blood on the Altar. Get our 4-tape sets on Aleister Crowley or The Supernatural, or the discussions of Aleister Crowley. Get The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning. Understand these secret societies have been here for hundreds of years, and what's their goal? The destruction of Christianity, a new world order. And pray for America, pray for revival, pray for our leaders and ministers, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And again, our number is 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is at war today.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
With news from the Information Radio Network, I'm John Russell. The White House is shrugging off the fierce opposition on Capitol Hill to President Bush's plan for sending more troops to Iraq. Correspondent Mark Smith reports from the White House.
White House Press Secretary Tony Snow acknowledges some of the reaction was downright hostile, though not unexpected, even though some of the toughest came from Republicans, like Nebraska Senator Chuck Hagel, who called the president's plan the biggest foreign policy blunder since Vietnam.
It's a pretty good line, but the follow-on question is, then what do you do? And we're interested in hearing.
Snow says the onus is now on those who think they have a better